presentation.
I would have fun doing a four-person Crystal Skull commentary because we all know the movie really well. We could just kind of like shit talk through it.
I saw it once when it came out 15 years ago.
I was about to say, I don't think I've seen it since theaters.
I have had no...
Are you serious?
No, because I have no wish to see it ever again.
I have not seen it since seeing theaters.
Can I tell you... So can I tell you my Crystal Skull story where it is... my friend Kyle and I skipped school to go see it in 2008. We hated it entirely, but when it came out on DVD, we were both kind of like big physical media guys at the time. I went to Walmart to buy it, and this was back in the day where there was a widescreen and a full screen, and the widescreen did not have the classic looking slipcover that the full screen had. The like Drew Struzan style painting that you know. Like the best the Crystal Skull can look is like that poster pretty much. So what I did was I took the widescreen and I stole the full screen slipcover off of it. And I was like, I think I'm not going to get in trouble because like I'm still buying most of the product. Yeah. Nobody. So I snuck out with it and I still have it to this day.
Yeah.
That's the whole story. That's the end of it.
Always good to hang on to the evidence.
My friend had to drag me to it. I refused to go see it, so he literally bought me a ticket, picked me up at my house, and drove me to the place to go see it. And I made a scene walking out of the theater, falling to my knees and screaming to the stars that there was no God, and then we went home.
I watched it with Amanda. I think it was last night or two nights ago. Her reaction to that movie, and she has never seen it. She didn't know anything about it. The one thing she knew was aliens. And she's like, oh, isn't that the big twist that it's aliens? I'm like, no, that's right out of the gate. You have no idea what to expect with this. But I'll say watching it again for the first time in probably a decade, there are charming moments, and maybe it's just because we're so far away. Really shitty, especially the second half is fucking hard to sit through. But there's moments in the first half where you're like, there's some classic moviness to some pieces to this. The chase through the college is really fun. There's literally no CGI. Like there's some stuff to enjoy. But man,
the thing that I remember most is the first like 15 minutes with like kind of the
warehouse,
the greasers and the hot rod, and then
all of
the nuclear
dude.
The
nuclear.
But other
thing
than that, I don't really remember.
If you don't know that's coming, it's almost cool. Like it's not cool for an Indiana Jones movie, but for a generic movie where a guy wanders into what he thinks is a town to go help him, and it turns out everyone in the town is a mannequin. Like there's something cool.
Well, that's
there.
The least problematic part.
Yeah, no, the opening's rad.
Oh, I actually
was never one of those people that freaked out that he escaped a nuclear blast in a refrigerator. Like I never had a problem with that. To me, that reads as Indiana Jones.
He found the Holy Grail. I'm not worried about the nuclear physics of Indiana Jones.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I actually kind of dug it. The rest, it was just how blah the rest of it was.
It's so blah. The actual treasure hunt is the part that it really suffers from the most, where they're in a tomb or a graveyard and you're like, what are we doing? Like, what are you doing? What are you looking for? Like, you just can't follow the simplicity of how bland it all is. Anyway, I'm Frank.
Yeah.
we're No Flicks Given. We're talking about Indiana Jones today, if you couldn't guess. And we have a very special episode for everybody. We have the full roster of the team with us. We got Peter, Connor, and Matt all together in one spot.
Good to be back.
It's happening.
Boys.
It's almost like it's
I miss these faces.
Is the UN summit. It's good to have everybody back. We had a few times where we were missing one or two of us, but we're back, and we're back for an important person, I'll say, which is Henry Jones Jr. What we're gonna do today is talk a little bit about Indiana Jones briefly, because Dial of Destiny is around the corner. It's coming out. We're recording this well in advance, and the reviews don't look good, and they're probably only going to get worse by the time this airs, honestly.
Well, it premiered at Cannes last week.
So we're recording this very early June, I'll just say. This isn't one of the predictions we're going to do, but similarly to what Rise of Skywalker did for the prequels, I think we're all going to be a lot softer on Crystal Skull after this movie comes out. We're not going to like it. It's going to be like the prequels. It's still a piece of trash, but we'll at least admire the attempt.
I have a hard time believing that with my experience with Crystal Skull.
I do too. But yes. So we each came to this episode with what we have our three predictions each for what may happen in Indiana Jones. And I want to say The Dial of Destiny, but it keeps sounding like wrong.
That's it.
That's a crazy title.
It's actually not a bad title.
It's a wild title.
I think it's worse than Crystal Skull.
It sounds like one of the Indiana Jones games that would have been released back in the day.
Yeah.
What was the one? I played one of the games adamantly. Infernal Machine. Loved that one. Yeah, that was really good. That had Nazis. You go to like Siberia or Russia or somewhere. Like, it's fun. It's really good. But we're each going to sort of go around and say our predictions. And then after the movie comes out, we'll probably do sort of a score check-in to see how we all did. Before that, though, I did kind of want to get just a weather gauge. And I mean, we all know what we're going to say. But basically, I just want to sort of see what the Indiana Jones movies mean to each of us. And with that, I have a question for each of you that I'm going to go around. And we're going to start with Peter, just because of where you are on my Zoom screen right now. And your question to start with is, like, what is your, like, suavest Indiana Jones thing he did in any of the movies? And then I want to hear about what you think of the franchise overall.
Suavest thing he did in any of the movies?
Yeah.
I got to think about that one for a second because there's a lot to choose from.
We don't have time.
I know. I love the Indiana Jones movies. I think I went as Indiana Jones for Halloween one year. Because it was one of those movies, especially with me as a young skittish kid, where it's like this was the threshold of my panic meter, but I never felt like I was really in trouble. It was a good time. I don't know if suave is the right term, but for whatever reason, the first thing that I thought of is in Ark when he sneaks aboard the submarine and he basically rides the submarine all the way to the Nazi camp. I was like, I don't know about that, but okay.
Yeah, cool. A moment that still doesn't quite track.
Right. And then immediately, like, jumps a Nazi and steals his uniform and looks handsome as hell. So
is that the moment where he does that a couple times where he steals a uniform? Is that the one where he, like, punches him in the gut, the hat flies up, and he catches it in midair and puts it on?
It's implied he kicks the hat off of the guy's head and then catches it in the air.
Yes. Lovely. Which is somehow less unrealistic than when in Last Crusade, when you see him drag a body out of the way and then immediately walk out from that direction wearing the uniform the body was just wearing. Like,
yeah. Yeah, but that's one of those Spielberg flourishes that it's just like, it doesn't make any sense, but it's so well executed that you're just going to roll with it.
You move on. Yeah, yeah. It's so fast. You just keep going for sure. All right. We'll move on to Connor because you're next. Yes. And your question is, what is what you consider the absolute funniest moment in all of the Indiana Jones movies? What makes you laugh the hardest?
It's a tie.
Which one?
It's a tie. There's the obvious moment in Raiders of the Lost Ark where the guy comes out with the gigantic sword, starts swinging it around, and Indiana Jones just shoots him, which is that's just inspired.
That would have been my pick. That's still the funniest.
But I think the moment that actually makes me laugh the hardest is in Last Crusade when Sean Connery says, she's a Nazi, and Indiana Jones is like, "What? How do you know that?" And he says, "She talks in her sleep."
Oh, that double take he has when he like he nods
that
and he
moment
accepts.
Between them, yeah, his little moment of like proud shame of like he got away with something, and the implication yeah. also that they're both sleeping with this, you know, Nazi spy,
22-year-old blonde. We don't talk about that, but yes, that's great. So what? But what is the like? Are you a huge fan? The way?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, part of the reason I pursued film as a career is Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know,
do you have a personal favorite, or is it Raiders? Is it like do you have one that kind of stuck with you?
It's often a tie between Raiders and Last Crusade.
Yeah,
I think Raiders is a perfect movie. Mm-hmm. In that it's like it's short. It's basically from the beginning of the second act on. It's basically an extended chase scene with just different sequences that happen. And I just love the way that it's constructed. The big softy in me loves Last Crusade because it's got so much heart in it. It's got so much heart, and the pairing of Harrison Ford and Sean Connery as a father and son duo is, I don't know if there's ever been better casting ever. And then especially like as I've gotten older and learned that like, you know, the whole reason this movie exists is because Spielberg wanted to make a James Bond film. And the rule for a long time was if you're an American, you can't make a James Bond movie. So he just said, fuck it, and did his own thing. And then he cast Sean Connery as Indiana Jones' dad. You know, like,
yeah, that's the ultimate fuck you.
That is hilarious. I did not know that story, but that's awesome.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's
the legend goes that George Lucas was New Hope was on the verge of coming out. It was like the weekend that New Hope was about to be released to theaters, and George Lucas was a wreck. He was an absolute just stressed out about what was going to happen. It was the make or breaker of his career because he staked so much on it. So him and Spielberg are old friends, and they were like, okay, look, let's go to Hawaii. Let's just take a vacation, get away from it all. Let it happen, whatever happens. So they go to Hawaii. They go to the beach, and they are sitting there under the Hawaiian sun, and the report comes in, and Star Wars is a fucking colossal locomotive. George Lucas takes a deep breath and turns to Steven Spielberg, and he goes, all right, what do you want to do next? And Spielberg's like, I want to make a James Bond movie. That's really what I want to do. And George Lucas, with having never mentioned anything about this before, says to Spielberg, I have something better. And he pitches the initial Indiana Jones pitch, which at that point, Indiana Jones, they didn't have the name. They didn't have anything. He had the idea of an archaeologist who goes on adventures. And it's basically like a movie without any of the boring parts. We're going to get to Matt real quick. I want to backtrack and just ask Peter, what's your personal of the trilogy? Because there's just a trilogy. What is your favorite of the three? Like, what do you identify as your... what's your
mine is Raiders. Mine is Raiders. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders... I love Last Crusade because I think Last Crusade does much better in utilizing its locations. Like, big creepy Nazi castle, Italy, you know, the middle of the desert, like, all beautiful. But I think just the simplicity of sort of the first time with Indy, one of the best intros of all time with the prop plane, you know, leaving the river as like natives throw spears at it. Like, mm-hmm. what an intro to a character, with the whole, is that the first one where it's, give me the idol, give me mm-hmm. the rope or something like that? Yeah.
That's Raiders.
With Doc Ock.
Yeah. Fucking Alfred Molina. Bad guy right at the gate.
Baby Alfred Molina.
Yeah.
Probably. No, so, probably younger than us then when he was in that.
Oh, movie. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Yes. And Tanner, honestly. Let's be honest. All right, Matt, I saved the best question for you because you get to really think about it. Your favorite Indiana Jones death in all the movies?
Oh, man.
That's a very good question, and he's the right person to ask.
Matt's acting burdened, but like I gave him such a fucking layup of like, just there's no wrong answer. There's
no,
like 15
I mean, I guess
great ones.
The one that pops into my head is when General Veers ages away into dust at the very end of Last Crusade.
That's a good one.
I like all of the, I like, and what's his face, the candle wax melt, and like all of the graphic borderline, why is this not rated R ones?
Yeah, the really fucked up shit.
Tend to be the ones that I enjoy the most.
Okay. And Indiana Jones as a concept. Like, I know you're a Star Trek guy, and I know you're much more just generally more that you're more the science fiction of the quartet. So
yeah.
What is your take on Indiana Jones's franchise?
Oh, I still love the franchise. It's still fun adventure. It wasn't on rotation as much in my house growing up, but then later on, like, we had the DVD box set, and I mean, we watched Last Crusade over and over and over again later on.
Is that your favorite of the?
It's probably my favorite. I mean, Raiders is amazing, despite the fact that literally nothing changes if Indiana Jones doesn't go on the mission. But
sure.
but yeah, no, I think Last Crusade's the easiest watch, and it's just the most, it's the best Indiana Jones film. Like, it's that thing where it's like Empire Strikes Back is a better film. Star Wars is the better Star Wars movie. Raiders is the better film. Last Crusade is the better Indiana Jones movie.
Okay.
I realized that take today, I was thinking about this, that take that nothing in Raiders changes if Indiana Jones isn't there, is actually horse shit.
Go ahead. I'm willing to
do tell.
He finds the fucking Ark.
The take is that it's.
Oh,
it's
I guess they would have had the medallion if not for the bar fight. But like,
No, you have a point, because there's that scene where they're on the plane and the Nazi is on the plane with him. So clearly the implication is they would not have found Marion without him. He leads them to her.
But also,
the problem is they have 400 diggers in Tanis. They would have found it at some point.
But they're digging in the wrong place.
But the two possible things is either the Nazis never find the Ark, in which case nothing changes, or right. The Nazis find the Ark, in which case nothing changes.
Same thing happens, right?
I mean, fair, but like, you know, to me, fundamentally, the big conflict of the third act of Raiders is that they have the Ark. That's a problem, you know?
Yeah. It's just it's a big change
if they spend the rest of the 40s just digging in the desert looking for a thing that they're never going to find.
Hey,
yo,
why did someone draw the Ark of the Covenant on the wall of a catacomb in Venice?
It's a holy
Catholics.
Yeah, Catholics. Catholics like drawing shit.
That makes sense. I'll take it. That's all I needed. I was curious.
I'll continue with the category Catholics for 1,000.
This famous Jew was brought to the top of a mountain with two thieves.
Peter, I can't wait to have you on the Sharp series, because we have some serious Catholic conversation going on.
I'm here for it.
Wait, when is the next Sharp? Because I do want to do one.
Whenever we can jive our schedules together.
Yeah, I just came back to being a real human again. So I'd love to do it whenever you guys are free to do it.
I think if Peter and I sort of leapfrog, I think we'll both be sort of like, we'll be Conan and Richter of the,
We want you on the next one, because there's some stuff that we want your perspective on. And then Peter
I'll do it.
Come on, one after that.
I would love that.
So I know we're getting to the draft here, but I do want to give you guys some reason for hope that this movie could be good.
Dial of Destiny?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking for anything. So please,
the hope for me is James Mangold. James Mangold's last three movies were Ford v Ferrari, which I quite enjoyed, nominated for Best Picture Academy Award, Logan, which he wrote and directed, and The Wolverine, which he directed.
Yeah. He made both Logan and The Wolverine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I do love The Wolverine.
This is his notables on his filmography: Copland, Girl Interrupted, Kate and Leopold, Walk the Line, 310 to Yuma, Night and Day, The Wolverine, Logan, Ford v Ferrari, and now Dial of Destiny.
Wait, hold on. So she flew through it. Copland, the Sylvester Stallone like 90s movie?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Okay.
He was like 24 or something when he made that.
He was very young. One of his first jobs was he was a writer on Oliver and Company in 1988.
I thought he was. Right. I thought he was like our age.
No,
sorry. No, he's almost 60. He's almost 60 years old.
Damn, but. I thought Logan was like a young, hungry filmmaker type movie. I completely misunderstood. And 310 to Yuma, The Crow, Bale. Yep.
Bale.
What do we think about 310 to Yuma? I saw that movie.
I love it.
I saw that movie in theaters, and I didn't get why it was such a big deal at the time.
I haven't seen the original, so I don't really. But similarly to True Grit, I feel like they're very kind of neck.
An accessible Western that was made in the modern day. That's honestly what the big thing is because most of the Westerns that are made now are like for Western fans, and they tend to be kind of like Star Trek the Motion Picture is.
Jesus Christ.
If you're a fan of Star Trek, you're going to really enjoy it. If you're not, you're going to think it's fucking boring.
Yeah.
And I do think... Russell Crowe's character as the like I'm so fucking cool as an outlaw that like you can't even handle how cool I am does work in a type of role that like 8 times out of 10 falls flat of like the iconic the Ice Cube in Mission to Mars or Ghost of Mars whatever the fuck like that that sort of like I'm a legendary type outlaw like he does pull that off properly. And the ending is just like an awesome shootout that like comes closer. I always think of Man in the Iron Mask, that finale a little bit because it does, it even though it doesn't end tragically, it does have the feel of like, well, they're going to die. So they might as well take as many with them as they can. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Crow does that badass Western performance way better in The Quick and the Dead though. Have we seen The Quick and the Dead?
Yeah, I love The Quick and the Dead. It's amazing. Like no, like it's the most exciting a quick draw duel movie can possibly be. It's like making an arm wrestling movie and having it be entertaining instead of what Sylvester Stallone made.
Did over the top, man. Sorry, I that just popped in my head as a thing that needed to be discussed right now. Thank you.
But I'm excited about James Mangold. I'm excited about Phoebe Waller-Bridge being involved. I'm a huge, huge fan of Fleabag as a series. I know it's a little bit apples and oranges with like the type of writing, but like, have you all watched Fleabag?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's been on my list, but I haven't done it yet.
Connor, I think it's going to like, religiously change you.
It's one of those things too that you can bang out the whole thing on a Sunday.
Like, right. Mm. That is what's great about British television.
It's like 12 episodes overall, like not even.
And they're half hour.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And what tends to happen with short run British television is I just wind up watching the whole series over and over and over again.
She also is following in the footsteps of Carrie Fisher of the sort of like secret ghostwriter of a lot of Punch Up. I think she was involved. She's been involved in a lot of Star Wars movies that we don't necessarily know about. She was L3.
Yeah. She helped write Solo too.
I mean, it's probably where she got started, where like she did Punch Up on that, and then they started bringing her back in to be like, help us with these terrible scripts.
She needs to kind of like get her blank check, I think, a little bit, like a big budget one, because I do want to see what she can do, and it feels like it's always one hand tied behind her back a little bit.
In this case, we'll be no different.
No, of course not. I'll say we're going to get into the predictions next. But before we do, I do want to just say first of all, I can't believe I'm the only one. I kind of can because it makes the most sense. But personally, I think I'm a Temple of Doom guy.
Of course you are.
Yeah, I had a moment of shock and then a moment of, not, of, no, of no, exactly it's not, Matt saying, of course you are.
So Last Crusade is unbelievably brilliant, but it is a little bit of like that Return to the Jedi, like play it safer type movie for me. Temple of Doom is just this crazy like Hail Mary pass into like nothingness where it's like, oh, okay, I guess this is the like Temple of Doom. They didn't know what the franchise was. So like anything was technically right. So they're like, okay, I guess like Indiana, like Satan worshipers who have slave children, and you're like, I guess so. You picked that.
You know why that movie's so bonkers, right?
Yeah.
Well, he was getting divorced, right?
There's that story always gets told, but Temple of Doom is entirely made out of offcuts of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
It was every idea that they couldn't use in Raiders of the Lost Ark that they just slammed into another movie. It's made of leftovers. It's a great movie. Don't get me wrong. It's tough because when you're put up against one of the best movies of all time and one of the sweetest movies of all time, that also features people getting shot. It's easy to get lost in the sauce, but Temple of Doom is an excellent film.
I feel that when I watch it, is like a lot of the action in Temple of Doom feels like it has the freshness of the screenplay of Raiders, whereas Last Crusade has great action. The tank chase is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But other than the tank chase, a lot of the action feels like, I don't know, pretty like by the numbers, the like Venice boat chase, I can't even think of other action in the movie. The motorcycle chase feels like very like standard, nothing like iconic or classic about it. It's just like a solid like piece. Whereas like Temple of Doom, like the mine car, the spike chamber, just
I mean, that's kind of what that's all it is set pieces. Like that's
yeah,
what
just
it,
set
and they're
pieces.
Just yes. There's a razor thin borderline racist plot to string it all together.
Oh, it is just like
which is also the structure of Raiders, to be fair.
Yes. It's such a fascinating mess for me. And I will say we're going to get into the predictions next, but I want to say my favorite death and my funniest moment are the same moment, which is in Last Crusade when they're being chased by the two fighter planes. The one goes through the tunnel and fucks his wings up and he slides past the car and he just calmly looks out his window at the damage being done and then he explodes out the other side. Like the shot of him just sort of like analyzing, like not worried at all that he's going to die and being like, oh, that's weird that my wings are gone and sparks. And like, it feels like that scene of like Newman on fire in the mail car in Seinfeld. Like it's just like, fucking insane.
One of those moments where like the fear of death is overtaken entirely by curiosity. We're just like, what's going on here?
You could put that on right now. I'd fall out of my chair laughing. Like I don't, there's no, it does not age for me at all.
Let my armies be the rocks and the trees and the birds in the sky.
Do you know what's funny about
Connery is so fucking good.
He quotes Charlemagne there and like we all just accept it. And I could see a version where it's like Charlemagne never said anything even remotely close. Like it's just like they didn't like you just go with it. The same way it's like, is Tanis a real city that the Ark was in? I don't know. I don't worry about checking, you know?
And that's the benefit of a movie made before the internet.
Here's how we're gonna go around. And I want a hand up if you prefer this method. Does anyone want to be the last one to go first, therefore the first person to go second, or are we gonna go around? Because if not, I'll go last. It doesn't matter.
I would be down to go last.
You're gonna go last.
Yeah, my predictions are a little fuzzy, and having the opportunity to solidify as we go down the list on the first pass.
Okay.
Would be helpful.
So before we get started, I'm just going to read the premise that has been released for Dial of Destiny. This is on the Wikipedia page.
Thank you.
This is, you know, just to level set for what we're going into. So it says, in 1944, American archaeologist and adventurer Indiana Jones helps colleague Basil Shaw against Jürgen Waller, a Nazi, from obtaining a mysterious dial known as the Antikythera. I'm guessing that is the Dial of Destiny.
Catheter.
Antikythera.
It's the Dial of Destiny.
It's the Dial of Destiny.
It's a real artifact too.
Yes. Yeah. No. It's a hand cranked like clock that they found in ancient Greek wreckage. 25 years later, in 1969, Jones is uneasy over the fact that the U.S. government has recruited former Nazis to help beat the Soviet Union in the competition to make it to space.
He has become
rather embittered, for his wife Marion is divorcing him, and he is about to be forced into retirement from his teaching position.
Shit, I already lost one of my predictions.
His goddaughter, Basil's daughter, Helena Shaw, accompanies him on his journey for the Dial. Meanwhile, Voller, now a NASA member and ex-Nazi involved with the Apollo moon landing program, wishes to make the world into a better place as he sees fit. And that's all we got.
Mm.
I have
more than I knew.
Problem with anything they said. I'm good with that's a great sort of setup for.
I have a pretty serious problem with it immediately. Mm-hmm. Directly next to the premise thing on Wikipedia is a little thing that says runtime 142 minutes.
Ugh, God, again.
Yep.
2 hours and 22 minutes.
Yeah. Mm.
Was that anybody's prediction?
No.
That would have been good.
I didn't have a runtime prediction.
Raiders of the Lost Ark is 115 minutes, which is actually longer than I thought. I thought it was like 85.
They're all about 2 hours. I mean, yeah. Most Spielberg movies are good, about 2 hours.
2 hours is a good sweet spot for this type of film.
Sure. 2 hours is good for, like, it should be 90 minutes, and then if you really need it, it should be 2 hours. That's about it.
I guarantee this movie doesn't need it, regardless of whether or not I end up loving it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's beside the point.
Okay. Are we ready to go around?
Let's do it.
I'm gonna
call on somebody. So, Peter, you're going to go first.
Okay. Okay. One of mine is that Indy is not going to die by the end of the movie,
mm-hmm.
but he is going to like transcend or fade away or like dissolve or something. There's something that's going to happen to where it's going to
Force
make it
ghost.
Very clear
you're
that
to think
like
of,
exactly
you're trying to say Forrest Ghost.
He can't. It's going to be clear that he's probably not dead, but he's definitely not going to make another Indiana Jones movie because he is
okay.
not there anymore.
Okay, that's fair. You can. That's. I almost thought about that one. Honestly, the like not dead but gone.
I have a one of my predictions is a twist on that.
Okay, we'll see when we get there, and we'll all vote if you need to freshen up. But I'll go next, and then Matt, and then Connor, you're gonna do two to loop us back the other way.
Yep.
My first one is kind of it feels like a lob up, but I think at some point, regardless of narrative, Sean Connery will appear in some CGI form, whether it's in a ghost or
CGI
a flashback,
Muppet.
It'll be Tarkin from Rogue One. It'll be Sean Connery's performance being recreated. It'll be Harold Ramis in Ghostbusters Afterlife. He'll show up in some sort of like they had the rights way. That's mine.
For clarity's sake, do you see this as a good thing or a bad thing?
Bad. I mean, the whole movie is bad. They don't make the movie. There's no thing you can do here. I mean, Harold. So did anyone see Ghostbusters Afterlife?
I actually liked it.
Peter and I actually saw it together.
Yeah,
we did.
A lot of it's fun. All the way to his house in Texas.
A lot of it's fun. The Harold Ramis character as a plot point piece, I actually really liked. Until he shows up in like physical form where you can see him. The like when his hand helps her point the gun to the goat, whatever the fuck is happening in the end. But
point the neutron one at Gozer. Come on, man.
Yeah. So I can't. I swear to God.
Can I get a Ghostbusters moment sound now?
Yeah. You, I mean, come on.
What's
it may not happen
sound
as often.
The, like,
it's
sound
the proton it's the pack turning on.
I knew that was what it was. But yes, that moment I love. But seeing his face in like ghost form, that was rough.
Yeah, on a meta level, as somebody that like respects and admires Harold Ramis and appreciates like Ghostbusters is a very important thing in my life. I got a little emotional about it, but as like a film watcher and maker, I was like, there's no fucking reason for this. This is dumb.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you get excited because like the same way you get excited when fireworks show up. It's like it's just instant.
And that's a problem overall with legacy sequels, that it's so much of what they're attempting to do. It has nothing to do with what's going on internally in the movie. It's everybody's sort of like meta experience of the property in quotes.
Sure. It's the Memberry's problem.
Yeah, yeah. I mean the Star Wars.
But thank God Chewbacca got that medal 40 years later.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And that's the thing is the line for all that for me is whether or not it feels like it was constructed and earned well within the structure of the film.
Right.
It's kind of at the end of Ghostbusters. I think they linger on it too long. Like if they had left it with just the hands or just the look at the very end and didn't have all of the cast tell him how they felt about him and left that part out, I think I would have felt a lot better about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you showed him from the back, we didn't see him, but they did. I'd be fine.
Yeah.
Well, and the the biggest problem with that moment is that Harold Ramis is the one that died in real life and not Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Because that whole thing makes more sense if it's Ray.
Yeah.
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 Now we're talking about Ghostbusters, but like that's my read of the whole thing.
We spent so much time there that I don't remember. Did Matt go or do you need to go?
Connor needs to pick again.
No, you didn't go. What was yours?
No, I thought we're doing the draft thing where Connor goes twice because he's last.
It's going to end with me and then it's going to circle back and do me again, but you still have to go.
Oh, you were I forgot the Ghostbusters thing.
Matt, we played fantasy football for like 6 years in a row.
I could go because I have like coin flip predictions both.
Well,
based
say
off
the,
of yours
I would say
Peter's.
Say the one that you think is most likely to be said stolen by somebody else. Like, do the most likely one.
The two that were already sort of, but on the coin flip of Peter's prediction, I think. Based off of the fact that we're using a time travel device, Indiana's just going to stay in the past somewhere. Like he's going to go back and he's an archaeologist. Like he's going to go. He's an archaeologist. He's
going to go.
At the end, like he's going to go back.
So your first prediction is he's actually just going to go back in time.
He's going to go back in time, but permanently, like to stay there. And then he's just forever there. And that's it. Because one of the trailers is like setting up distinctly the fact that he does not belong in the 60s.
Sure.
Soon
to be 70s.
Yeah, and instead of killing him off, they're going to just put him away in the past,
where he belongs.
He's going to get the Captain America ending.
Yes, a little bit. Yeah, pretty much that.
Yeah,
or the timeline ending. Weirdly enough.
Oh, dude, we have to talk about timeline.
We're not
going to
talk
about
timeline. I was just
who
going
made
to reference
timeline.
That.
Someone made timeline, like a person.
Yeah, no, a person did, and at no point thought it was a bad idea.
Timeline was a film?
Was it like a Verhoeven movie? It was like someone
I forget who directed it.
No, made
it's one of those early like we're trying to make Paul Walker a movie star films, but it also
Richard
has
Donner.
Richard Donner.
Right.
That's it. I told you, someone made Timeline. I kind of liked it.
Michael Crichton book. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Long story short, a character does a similar thing, but that's my first prediction is that will be what happens to Indy. He stays alive, but he will be far in the past removed from all of this. And then someone else can pick up where he left off.
Can I expand on that? Does he have his current day memories when he goes back?
Yeah. No, it's. I don't know how I know there's some weirdness to how the Dial of Destiny works, but like he will choose to go back and stay there. Like that will be his thing of just like, I'm going away from this terrible 20th century.
All right. That's interesting. My buddy Kyle, I asked him before we recorded and his only prediction was exactly that prediction that he'll go back and be. So the two of you are very savvy when it comes to this kind of thing. So I can see that really happening. Connor,
you
have the benefit of two. So you can pick a running back and a wide receiver.
Well, so my initial theory that got fucked today when I watched the final trailer that they released like 2 weeks ago was that Phoebe Waller-Bridge's character was going to be Marcus Brody's daughter.
Mm. That would have been a better way to construct the story, but
well, I think she's going to be Obi-Wan's daughter. That's what
she's going to be. Toby, what's his name?
Toby Jones. Yeah,
she's going to be Toby Jones's daughter, who is just a guy we've never met before.
The same
but
way
they're, I mean
Crystal
it sounds
Skull
like
has...
they're gonna spend time back in 1944 like working him into the thing so
right yeah so based on the research that I've done First of all, I just want to say I'm here under duress. I don't want this movie to exist. I don't want Kingdom of the Crystal Skull to exist. I don't want to have to do this. I'd rather just be watching Indiana Jones. Secondly, I did a little bit of research that the flashback apparently is the first like chunk of the movie. It's like
it
goes on for a while and they de-age him to make him look like he's young Indy again, like around 40 years old. So I was watching the trailer and there's a moment where he's talking to Phoebe Waller-Bridge and he says, you know, like something about like my goddaughter. And I was like, oh, wonderful. Like they're, you know, like the actor that played Marcus Brody passed away a few years ago.
Like 30.
Oh, many years ago, I guess, is no longer with us. But they're going to sort of like bring him back in spirit and continue on like the legacy of the original movies with his daughter who like becomes Indy's, you know, adventure buddy. Great. That's fantastic. And then there was Toby Jones in the flashback sequence in the trailer. And I was like, nope, not that. Fuck. That sucks.
I like Toby Jones though. I think he's a great actor.
I think he's great. It's just a bummer that they're not a bummer. I don't know. That's what this legacy sequel shit. Like, I'm disappointed that they're not throwing back to Marcus Brody, but at the same time, like, sort of fuck me for feeling that way. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck you a little bit.
Yeah.
I understand because there's the one part of it where it's like expand the universe a little bit and Indiana Jones can know more than four people, but like on the other side of it, it's like, well, it would have been nice if I had a connection with the characters, you know, with the character that we're supposed to just try to love in this.
Sure.
Movie.
Yeah. Well, sure. Especially because so much about this seems to be like, you love Indiana Jones, don't you? Look at Indiana Jones. He's back doing Indiana Jones shit. Mm-hmm. You know, and Marcus Brody was like the M of the Indiana Jones in the original in Raiders.
That's a brand new sentence.
He's the guy that sends Indy on the mission.
No, you're not. No, I'm not saying you're wrong. You're right. He is the M, but I've never heard anyone have that hot take.
No, it's actually funny how you can sort of like layer characters onto broad James Bond stereotypes, but stock characters.
He's like M and Q combined because he's a comic relief too.
Yeah.
Tropes. Yeah.
Yeah. And Sulla is like, you know, like the local spy guy that helps him out and all that and shit like that.
His man.
So wait, what is your, you're talking a lot, but
so,
what is your...
Sorry. So my actual prediction is that there's going to be a lot of jokes about how bad Indiana Jones's knees are, despite the fact that whoever's Harrison Ford's stunt double is going to look like he's a fucking superhero.
Oh, so like, there's going to be that.
There's
going to
be that tension, that dissonance between like,
the disconnect.
How old he is, because Harrison Ford is 80 years old. 80.
Joe Biden's age.
A man famously old. Now, granted, Harrison Ford looks great. He seems very healthy, despite the fact that he keeps crashing planes into stuff. There's going to be like a lot of things about how old and frail he is, despite the fact that he's going to jump. Not jump. No, I think he's going to swing on a vine from one vine to another, like Tarzan.
Wait, you're flying all over the place.
Is that your second prediction?
Yeah, no, yeah, this is all part of the same prediction.
Hold on.
Okay. Let me broaden this out a little bit. The fact that he's old is going to be a major plot point at some part in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the action scenes, that fact is not going to stop them from doing crazy action shit with Indiana Jones.
Okay. Are you talking about the intro scene or the whole movie?
In the 1969 portion when
Your prediction is that the Indiana Jones movie coming out will feature an elderly Indiana Jones being an action star. That's your prediction?
Yeah. Have you seen the trailer?
I feel like you are lobbing up a softball there, but I will let you have it. But God damn it, that is just...
That shit bothers me, man. I find that incredibly distracting.
Like, I feel like the filmmakers are putting that food in your mouth and all you got to do is close.
So what inspired this thought was, in the first trailer that came out, There's a moment where Harrison Ford jumps off of the roof of a car and into like a tuk-tuk, like a motorized.
Oh, I hate that shot. That's my least favorite shot.
And I realized I was going to spend the entire movie worried about Harrison Ford, not Indiana Jones, but Harrison Ford's knees. Because my father is not that much younger than Harrison Ford, and just watching that guy walk around the house is a little terrifying a lot of the time. And I mean, one of my major issues with this movie in the first place is that, like,
yeah. I feel like this isn't so much a prediction as it is a meditation on the age of Harrison Ford, the movie. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, look, Peter, you've uncovered my ruse.
Okay, hold on. The music's playing. What is your first prediction? Is that the fact that he's going to be an action star in the movie?
Yes. They're going to make an old man an action star.
They're going to joke about his knees, but he's going to be making cliff jumps and shit. That's the point.
Thank you. They're going to put a hat on the fact that Indiana Jones is old.
Yes. So there we go.
But it will
change nothing for the action sequences that he's in.
Thank you.
Yes. Does this hinge on the knees? It feels like you're... Okay,
I was using the knees as an example.
Can I give you an olive branch? It sounds like you are saying the action in this movie will be reminiscent of... Do you remember in Revenge of the Sith when Ian McDiarmid fights Samuel Jackson? And
yes.
It's mostly Ian McDiarmid and he's an elderly man. And then it just randomly cuts to like CGI Ian McDiarmid doing like Yoda flips.
It's
a little bit that in a movie.
We're saying the same thing.
Okay.
We're all saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Prediction one, we got there.
Jesus Christ.
We're having one of those fights where we're very loudly agreeing with each other.
All of our fights. So prediction two, if it's as painful, I swear to God, I'm going to kill myself. But what is prediction two?
Prediction two is that similarly to the Star Wars sequel series, they're going to set up a world that is full of potential for doing something really exciting and new, and then just try to make Raiders of the Lost Ark again.
Okay. That's a good one.
Matt is killing himself laughing right now.
<'Cause>
We lost.
It was a thought that I had because you said they're going to do what Star Wars does, and I'm going to be... And so my initial thought was Phoebe Waller-Bridge's character is going to take the last name Jones.
Fuck, that would have been good.
Honestly, that's not a bad prediction, though.
It's not a bad prediction.
Are we going to snake back to me
prediction with predictions, or is this my last prediction?
You just said two, and you're going to get one more.
Great.
I'm going to save
Matt's little bit of inspiration for my next prediction.
Good. Is it she's going to pick a different state to be her nickname?
God.
Oh, my God, it is.
Welcome back to Montana Jones and Michigan Smith.
Fuck, Peter, that was the one I was going to make the joke about. It was going to be Montana.
That'd be a great name.
Nebraska would be good too.
Yeah, Nebraska.
Yeah, but she's British. She doesn't know what's in the Midwest.
No.
That's the thing. She's going to be like, my name is Manchester Jones. Virgin Island Jones.
Virgin Island okay, Puerto so that Rico means, Matt, we're back to you. For your second.
So this prediction is very similar to yours, Frank, but I feel like it's a bit of like a side bet now between the two of us, so I have to say it. I don't think we're going to see CGI Muppet Henry Jones Sr. I think we're going to see CGI Muppet Marcus Brody.
Ooh, okay. I'll go in on that with you. We should put money down, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's my...
I don't have any, so I'm not going to.
That's my guess. Okay, so you think Marcus and I think...
Sean. Okay, that's a great one. I figured someone was going to also throw that one in the ring. That's good. My next one is a real simple one. I just think at some point in the movie, whether it's a gag, whether it ends the movie, at some point, Phoebe Waller-Bridge is going to put the hat on.
Mm.
You stole my fucking prediction, Frank.
Did I?
The one that I just made up right now. But yes.
I had that one from like yesterday. But I think it's going to be, it might be a split second, and it might be like, what are you doing? Get that off. Like it might be a joke in the middle of the movie, or it might be the end. It's not going to be the end. But like at some point.
You'll get that quiet. Da, da, da,
da, something like that. Maybe she's pretending to be him, and they think he's over here, and it's her. Like at some point, the hat is going to be on her fucking head. That's all I'm saying.
My guess is at the end of the movie, he's hanging up his spurs. He's done being the hero and just plops it on her head to be like, go do your thing, Michigan Smith.
Jesus Christ.
Well done. Well done.
Thank Michigan you. Smith. It's like a tire company.
As Peter. Adjacent to Indiana Jones as I could get.
So, Peter, you get two now. You get your Sweet. Last two in one go.
Okay. Here are my last two.
You need a quarterback and a defense.
No, I'm taking a kicker.
Damn it.
Taking the best kicker on the board. So my first one is that there's not actually tension between Indy and Marion, but it's going to be revealed that Marion thought Indy was cheating on her with Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Whoa.
Because there's going to be some dumb reason for this. There's going to be some sort of like, I saw this girl coming out of your tent and I have never seen that girl in my life and she's half your age and how dare you? There's going to be some nonsense like that. That is like the mistaken like couple identity thing is my...
I hope have, not, but they have wouldn't we put it past just, them.
Do we know if Karen Allen is in this movie at all?
That was she what is. I was going to say.
She is in this
You're
movie.
Sure?
Yes. She's cast. She's on the bill here.
That's incredibly surprising. I figured that it was just going to be Marilyn's dumping me because Karen Allen didn't want to be in this movie. Because
yeah, I thought it was going to be Adrian and Rocky VI or whatever. What was the one where she died?
What?
I thought it was going to be like Adrian in Rocky VI.
Where he dies off
where
screen.
He goes to the gravestone and is like, oh, you're not my bad.
That'd be a weird thing for Indiana Jones to do.
He's been punched in the throat so many times. I feel like it's not unrealistic.
So that's also, that's my... Oh, go ahead.
Okay, so you think there... Hold on. So I want to spell this out clearly for our audience so we don't... So when we do have our score keep session...
Sure.
You think that Marion divorcing him as a plot point will be based on a misunderstanding? Basically,
yes.
I'll give you that. Like, across the board... Yes, you think Phoebe Waller-Bridge, but across the board, it'll be a comedy of errors type divorce.
And the general thing is it's a misunderstanding. The specific thing is that it's going to be a misunderstanding specifically about Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
I'll give you the misunderstanding. I'm willing to sort of like make it that broad so we'll see. We'll see. But interesting. I did not know she was in the movie. So that actually
And Harrison Ford will be like, she's my goddaughter, Marion. I wouldn't do anything like that or something like that. It'll happen.
And then he does.
And then he says, I know. And then she says, I know you fucked a 15-year-old before because I was the 15-year-old.
I was that 15-year-old. Yeah.
Jesus. Here, your last.
All right. God.
That's
here's
right.
my last
yes,
one.
That's just
I went
what
to
the
Frank
Hebrews
place before
thought.
Frank could go there.
Here's my last one. I'm really glad nobody's taken it because I think this is really going to happen, and I'm really upset about it. I think Indiana Jones is going to be the first man on the moon.
Oh like Christ. Technically? God.
Not God. Even a little bit do I think that. That's Damn I'll it. Give you like take
they
it.
They have worked NASA into the synopsis twice as like that, and it's specifically about the Apollo moon landing program.
The Apollo mission lasted from July 16th, 1969 to July 20th, 1969. This movie takes place in July 1969.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Indiana Jones is going to be the first man on the moon.
Ooh, I...
Peter, that's a Paramount turning into Gopher Hill level of stupid, but yeah.
I actually thought that was kind of clever, but that's me.
Oh, no, it's going to be real dumb.
In the same vein of Connor, of you talking about an old man being treated as if he is a stuntman, just the sheer G-forces required to get into orbit would kill an 80-year-old man.
100%.
I did not have my last one until just now because, what was it? What was my original last one that got ruined by something we said at some point? My original was that like Marion's grave or memorial would be a feature. So that's out the window. When you said she's in the movie and that they're divorcing as a concept, which is crazy that they would have that and not have her be dead. Whatever. It doesn't matter. My last one is keeping in theme with every Indiana Jones movie. Cause like the device is always the undoing of the villain, right? This sounds like it's going to be silly, and it sounds like something that's going to get leaked, And people are going to be like, no, that can't be how the movie ends. That's stupid. The same way, like, the ending of Rise of Skywalker got leaked like 2 months early. The villain, Mads Mikkelsen, will be like undialed by the destiny and will, like, as opposed to Last Crusade, he will de-age into oblivion. He will go back, because we already see they're doing a younger version of him early in the movie. Later in the movie, it's going to be a little bit of a Fountain of Youth kind of theme, where he's going to be like looking for like a way to be younger, and he will overshoot and turn into like he's going to be Benjamin Button into nothingness, basically.
Weird fact, that was an alternate ending to Star Trek Insurrection, but that's neither here nor there.
Ooh.
It really is neither here nor there. Look at that. Sorry.
It's all right.
Matthew, we get two more predictions and we're done.
Yeah, I have two left, but one is kind of a joke one.
Can
so
I say, I thought
end.
This was going to be a 20-minute episode, and we're...
I don't know why you thought it would.
I don't know. I really thought we were going to just boom in and out.
That would be violating a law of physics.
So the more serious prediction is, consequently, another side bet about the hat. I think it will be lost or irrevocably damaged, destroyed.
Mm. I think that's heresy. I think that's insane.
I think James Mangold has the balls to do it.
Yeah. That is a choice so bold that I don't know if Disney would, it would be kind of great to sort of signify like this Absolutely. Is the beginning of the end of Indy. But
would love it.
I also don't know if Disney would let him do it.
No. It's possible, but I'm going weirder things
have happened.
Yeah, I'm going
yeah,
to
but
say
he's, maybe
then
he's
going to
reforge it in the next movie, which is The Last Archaeologist. So I think it's going to be
released on Harrison Ford's 100th birthday.
Mm-hmm. No, it won't be his 100th. It'll be sometime during. Yeah, but it's, anyway.
Yeah.
No, it's an interesting one. It's interesting. I would love that to happen. I hope something like that. I just hope something with stakes happens. Anything at all. Connor, you are bringing us home. You have the full reign. No one else is predicting anything.
My final prediction for the Dial of Destiny is that what Mads Mikkelsen's character... Is it Mads Mikkelsen? Which Mikkelsen is...
It's Mads.
It's Mads. It's Mads.
Yeah,
okay.
It's Mads.
His goal is to get a hold of this time travel device to save Hitler.
Ooh. I assumed that.
No, that's pretty good. I didn't assume that.
He's gonna go back in time and either save Hitler or...
From himself?
From himself. Or...
Well, or just like make, you know, give him some information to... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
no, that's exactly what I thought.
It'll be like in Back to the Future Part 2 where he goes and gets the sports almanac. He's gonna go back and just like, I know exactly how World War II worked out. So, by the way, it's called World War II in the future. So we're going to use all this information I have to win World War II and create a worldwide Third Reich. And so it's like, it's like beating
So do you think
I would be astounded if that is not what happens.
He had the last pick. He had the last pick.
No, I'm just saying,
you didn't even have to say it.
You're telling me it's a time travel movie and there's Nazis in it. The whole thing is going to be the Nazis trying to prevent the Nazis from losing.
So let me ask you this, Connor, because I think we need to specify. Do you think the plot is for him to go back to Nazi time and do things right? Or do you think the plot is like him to bring the Nazis into the 60s?
No, I think I think his plan is to go back in time with his knowledge of how World War II worked out and win it. So his present can be Nazi Disneyland or whatever the fuck.
Okay, the moon landing makes it interesting because like you are real close to a Nazi moon base type movie. And mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, and. Based on the way that they decided to go with Crystal Skull with alien shit, like it kind of works for me that that's what they would sort of lean into is like late 60s, early 70s B movie you know, She-Wolves of the SS kind of
that makes sense.
Pulp,
yeah.
You know,
Iron Sky.
Yeah.
Has anyone seen Iron Sky? That's been on my like curiosity
radar. I think I did once, like a long time ago.
And I was not
sober.
Yeah.
You know where the second one takes place?
You and I may have watched that together.
I think we did, and like very late in the evening.
And I don't remember a single fucking thing about it.
No.
We're going to watch it.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a matter of time now.
Now we have to.
And I'm going
to
add a bonus prediction. There's going to be a moment where it looks like our heroes are going to lose and we're going to see a Nazi moon base.
Oh, that'd be
sort
awesome.
Sort of like bleeding through the curtains of time.
Like the timelines are... Yeah. It's like the end of Zack Snyder's Justice League kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or the beginning of First Contact.
Yeah, and then and Indy's going to have to sort of, I don't know, make the ultimate sacrifice. Dive through the time stream and put shit right.
Indiana Jones gets to blow up a Nazi moon base. Like, sign me the fuck up. Yeah.
That is a sort of a... Actually, you know what? Now that we're talking about it, that's a side bone. Like, I don't think this movie should exist, but Nazis are going to get punched. And in the current world we live in, I'm pretty excited about that.
Yes. Yeah. That's why I'm glad we're back to punching Nazis. Like, that's where we should be.
Yeah. I know Spielberg didn't want to use Nazis as villains in a non-serious movie. He made Schindler's List and was like Nazis are no longer be comedic relief at all, which like fair, but
get
also
it. I get
living in the world living in 2023, I like it when Nazis get punched.
Yeah. I think it's better, and you know, obviously it's a personal preference thing, but I think it is better if they are treated as a joke because it takes the piss out of the entire thing. Mm-hmm. And it makes it seem as silly as it is, as opposed to it's because to me, not trying to make it a forbidden subject to especially try to play for comedy.
No, for sure.
It makes it like the Voldemort thing of like not saying it gives it more power.
Yeah.
No, it's us reclaiming the N-word, basically.
Jesus Christ.
That's not at all. That's, in fact, the opposite of what we were just saying. Peter's no longer on the podcast. He just quit.
Okay. Yeah. You're very much misunderstanding what I was trying to say.
Digging in the wrong place.